Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, all the pop culture and the research so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And we're once again joined by our very beautiful friend, Adam Carnevale. Adam.
Welcome
Joel
to the show.
Duscher is dead. Long live Joel Duscher.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. This is
anyway, terrible.
What do we think is going to happen in Fallout Season 2?
Now, I didn't watch Fallout Season 1.
Oh, no, my coffee's over there. Go on.
You get it.
I'm getting it.
Perhaps I should have watched Fallout Season 1.
You haven't seen Season 1?
No, sir. I hear it's pretty good.
It was all right. I quite liked it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a surprise.
Well, that's I'm very glad to hear that.
Like, it's the kind of thing where you're like, oh, it's nice that we're living in a time where movie and TV adaptations of video games are kind of good, which is
truly.
I feel like you still get the shitty ones.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But there's no space in between, which I think is interesting.
Well, yeah, and especially, I don't know, Fallout.
There might be. We just don't know.
Such, oh, wow.
Again, like,
I'm not watching every TV show. Oh. Mm. And I never will. but I think.
That's our promise to you.
Exactly. My promise to you, dear sweet Baseless Speculation listeners, as you listen to this from your phone bubbling in the toilet. Mm. Bubbling in the toilet.
Oh, what has happened? You have
you
a medical condition.
So hot,
so
it boiled the water.
So many things have gone wrong.
Exactly. As you reach down to get it and accidentally flush it,
I will never watch every TV show. Burn your hand on your hot piss.
You've pissed acid. Oh, no. Go to a doctor.
Yes.
But especially with a Fallout TV show, I never expected that to be successful.
Yeah, like, to be honest, same. But like, and also I'm like, well, you know, oh, it's Amazon, and it's like, you know, they throw a lot of money at things. But then, like, you know, Rings of Power.
Yeah, exactly. It still needs to have, like,
got a season two, didn't it?
Probably.
I think it's good to season three.
Season three,
yeah. But
I've heard mixed things about Rings of Power. But I've only pretty much heard good things about Fallout.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, hey, based on my brother's opinion, if we want to use that as the yardstick,
okay,
he loved Fallout and hated Rings of Power.
And I always do. Yeah. So yeah,
exactly.
It's good to hear.
The writer benchmark.
When you say you heard bad things about Rings of Power, was it exclusively Joel's Amit and your brother?
No, I saw like a lot of people online being like, it's kind of like messy and a bit unfocused and it looks like shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Like those, I mean, I don't know. I've not watched it. I don't care to.
I've watched a couple episodes. Like, yeah, no, that was my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of Lord of the Rings. Hey, Adam, can you name me the Lord of the Rings film that was released in cinemas not that long ago? Maybe this year.
The Lord of the Rings.
Well, like
film.
Last year, actually. Yeah. The Lord of the Rings film is an animated.
I got this one
film.
In my head. I got this one in my head.
That was did you
the War of Rohirrim or something?
Yeah, something like that.
What? Yeah, the War of Rohirrim or Rohirrim.
Oh, this does sound familiar. Yeah,
which is apparently pretty good, but just like everyone was like, it was good.
Was that made by Amazon?
I don't know.
I got no idea.
I'm just like, Lord of the Rings stuff is going on. That's all.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, okay.
It's just good to remind you, Adam.
Trying to show me up or something?
No, I'm just saying.
No, we just want to remind you specifically. Hey, don't forget, Lord of the Rings stuff's going on,
but it's more that, like, you know, hey, there's this, like, film property, or this property that, like, it goes under the radar, or, like, most people are like, oh, that came out, I guess.
But also, Lord of the Rings is such a funny one because, obviously, the trilogy, like, Fellowship, Two Towers, Return of the King.
Yes.
Is like, it's so
thank
iconic.
God he got them.
Yeah. Mm. Thank God, dude. Don't ask me to list the Star Warses because I can't. but they came out at like such a kind of perfect time in a perfect place.
Yeah.
So much love and dedication was put into them.
Yeah.
Then every subsequent, and this is not like a new observation, but like every subsequent attempt to recapture that magic is an attempt to recapture that magic, which is also kind of impossible.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Yes. You cannot recapture magic. Name me one fucking time that's worked ever.
The thing is, like, you can't really recapture magic, or you can't recapture the same level of that level of magic. And like, this, say what you will about the, the Hobbit trilogy, but one of the reasons that like really like failed was because of Del Toro left, right?
Yeah.
And like, I think it was just like whatever took too long or whatever it was, and he ended up just walking away from that project. But because of that, they had to be like, well, okay, we're now on a timeline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And let's we have figure all out. These things that have been already made, and we have all these things that are sort of there. So we, okay, shit, we need to, like, you know, kind of rush this, as opposed to, yeah, Lord of the Rings, the initial,
yeah,
with Peter Jackson, like how many, like, years that was in pre-production.
I was saying, this is funny. I was trying to think of things that recaptured the magic.
Yeah.
And I came up with something. I came up with like three different examples.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every single one, I picked it up. I was like, that's your opinion, Adam.
Well, no, but I want to hear.
I don't think this is the popular opinion, but the second Conan movie, the original one still with Arnie.
Yeah, yeah.
The second one of those I watched, I was like, this is just as good as the original.
Yeah,
maybe
okay.
better.
Yeah.
The, and... Now I'm going to say this, and we, all right.
We can put a no making fun rule in.
Safe space. No one attacks me, and that includes people in the comments.
Yeah, safe space.
And that includes people in the comments.
Of course.
Quantumania.
I'm staying silent on this. I'm respecting Adam's wishes.
I am respecting.
But I think everybody listening knows what I want to say, what I want to call my dear friend.
Yes.
And you said you had
every single Ant-Man. Honestly, I think the second one was the best one. And,
we're still in the safe space, you say.
Yeah. First one's probably in my, well, not probably, sorry. First one I loved as well. It's so quiet.
Quantumania was the third one, right?
Yeah.
And you said the second one was your favorite?
Yeah. Second one's my favorite.
Okay.
Third, Quantumania you'd say would be third favorite?
I would rate them as 2, 1, 3.
Yeah.
And I would say 3 is an 8 out of 10 movie for me.
That's fine. You're welcome to your opinion, dude. I'm not here to judge how you engage.
I think it literally would be 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10. Oh, my God.
That's fine, dude. That's fine because that's okay. I will say, and this is not me getting mad at you. I just will say I can't, knowing who you are and trying to figure out what you like about those movies is like oddly difficult for me.
Yep.
Like why specifically two. Ant-Man?
Two is the best one. Two is a 10 out of 10. Two.
I have this memory with Ghost and Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah. Tim Heidecker,
of course.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins is in
Walton
it.
Walton Goggins,
I understand. You would at least agree, surely, that two was a fun movie. I feel like I heard people saying...
I brought this up on the show before. When 2 came out, I distinctly remember both Joels being like, it was great.
There we go.
Yeah. Me personally? I think it's ass.
Yes.
But that's okay.
I wouldn't say it was a perfect 10.
No.
But I think I remember enjoying it more than maybe 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like with a lot of Marvel properties, I feel it often will waste certain actors. I personally feel number 2 kind of wasted both Lawrence Fishburne and Walton Goggins.
Yes. And I would even argue wasted, I forget her name, but the woman who played Ghost.
Well, exactly.
I feel like we're wandering away from the space of safe.
Well, we're not talking about your opinion.
Okay.
These are our opinions about the movie.
Okay. Okay.
I think that they're bad movies.
But it's okay to like them.
You can like them if you want.
I think
Quantumania is probably up there in the...
Look, hey, his rankings of the Ant-Man, I want to say I think I agree. It goes 2-1 Quantumania.
That's probably fair.
I think I agree with that. Maybe on a rewatch, I don't know. Maybe I might appreciate 1 more because, again, 1 wasn't the movie that I kind of imagined we were going to get. It was a different sort of movie. And I still think that because it's a Marvel film, it's never going to do something.
Who was originally directing 1? I forget. They changed directors.
Yeah, Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright.
With a lot of Marvel properties, they're not going to do something out of left field. They're going to often play it safe. And that, I think, kind of remains true to the majority of Marvel properties. I still posit that I think it would have been a much better film if the villain of that was Tony Stark. But
fine.
But that was you know, my initial reaction. I don't remember that. But maybe going back,
probably on a rewatch,
and watching it as is. And
without any presumptions.
Maybe my viewpoint will be 1, 2, 3.
I think personally, for me, 3 is up there in what I might call the dark trilogy of soulless, artless Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Taking the bronze.
Take Yeah, okay. Which is weird because I think the also in that is Thor: Love and Thunder.
Yeah, Thor: Love and Thunder would be gold
film,
for me.
Which is a film that I actually didn't mind.
Yeah,
that,
I liked. Yeah,
silver for me would be Spider-Man: No Way Home.
That's my gold.
Yeah,
it's No Way Home because the Spider-Man.
It's all with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Okay,
yeah.
I imagine that's one of your favorites. If I could watch Marvel movies like you, Adam,
yeah,
imagine how happy I'd be.
I actually forgot. I literally going in because I watched it. I want to say like a month after it came out, I had completely forgotten that the other Spider-Mans were going to be in it, and when they first showed up, I want you to know, I audibly gasped.
That's crazy, dude. So when
can I very quickly poll both the two of you and also the listeners at home? Do you think the energy coming from this corner is different? How so? And do you think it interacts the same with the other two or different? Because it could be the different energy, but interacting in the same way.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think, Adam, and I don't think this is too disparaging of our listeners. I think more of them are on your side than ours.
So my dark trilogy of the Marvel properties would be the gold. I think maybe you are forgetting this, but the gold is Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
So to me, it's the Deadpool and Wolverine almost to an equal gold with, Spider-Man.
No Way Home.
You didn't
like
Deadpool and Wolverine?
Are you kidding me right now? Are you serious? Dude, that movie was the most anti-art, basically homophobic piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. It had a frat boy's understanding of same-sex. It was
soulless.
Horrible movie, dude. A wretched film for idiots.
So safe space, but yes. Fucking hated that film
awful.
Like you wouldn't believe.
No
redeeming qualities.
Not one.
I knew it was going to get a billy, but I was unhappy that it did. But honestly,
it was going to get a what?
A billion dollars.
Oh,
I don't know if I hate that one more than No Way Home, but No Way Home, they both feel so creatively void.
Yes. At least No Way Home, I didn't see some of because I was getting a haircut.
True.
It's like a bit of peace I get there.
I guess No Way Home had, Alfred Molina and I like him as an actor. That was fun.
Well, I like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Yeah,
so happy to see him.
And Deadpool Wolverine did have that Madonna song. So that was nice.
You like that Madonna song?
I do like that Madonna song. It's a banging track.
Is there anything redeeming about Deadpool and Wolverine for me? Anything in that movie I could say that I liked or that I thought was good?
Like I think I've mentioned this in the past as well, and it's just very to when you're adapting things and you're adapting like something from comic books, you're then adapting them to like a film or whatever it is, right? And comic books come with so much bullshit. Like, fair enough. You got to kind of pull your punches, or you got to like move some things around. And like, hey, that's fine. That's life.
Yeah,
I agree with like the vast majority of adaptations that have been out there. But I think I was up before with Baseless Speculation, where they talk about like Gambit, Remy LeBeau, Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I remember.
You might not be, who's Gambit? But yes. And the whole thing about him not having red eyes in like at all. And when I was watching that film, it really washed over me because I was like, this is all just terrible.
Yeah.
And then someone else was pointing out, so Remy having red eyes is such like, it's one of those things about a character which is so integral to their backstory and who they are and everything like that in the comic books.
Yeah.
That, like, by not having that, like, I don't want to be like the, well, actually, kind of person.
But you've removed the core aspect of that character.
And then when someone talks about that and then they point it out, so like him not having red eyes would mean that he wasn't abandoned at from birth, which means he wouldn't have been raised in like the Thieves Guild, which means he wouldn't have like, all this, like the kick on things which come from the fact that he was born with red eyes. And you're like,
Yeah,
that's the level of care I came to expect from Deadpool.
He only exists in that movie because that movie is obsessed with giving characters their flowers, which has got to be such a sign of cultural decay that we believe that these characters from superhero movies that no one liked for some reason deserve A moment in the sun.
Give the guy, let's give Blade flowers. Blade 3, if you remember, where he was filmed and he refused to open his eyes so that they had to CGI some eyes there so that the scene would make fucking sense.
And even
the film where they had to get Ryan Reynolds in to be this kind of like, you know,
to improvise,
quippin' because they didn't know who the main character was going
to
be.
But it's also absurd to believe that you need to give Blade its flowers, a movie series with two extremely successful movies that were well liked. What about this movie? You are to believe you need to give Blade its flowers. It imagines a world where because he does not exist in the MCU, that is somehow a slight against his character.
Yes.
But then Gambit existing in that movie is not even giving flowers to a character from another film. Mm. It's giving flowers to a fan casting.
Well, no. He was cast.
Oh,
Channing Tatum was cast at one point, and there's that that photo of him.
And then I guess there's a proportion of people out there who believe because that film wasn't made, they were robbed of something.
I'm trying to remember which time was that because I know Taylor Kitsch was Gambit. At one point that was not good.
Anyway, man, wretched film for idiots.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I'm
not surprised.
Funny,
No disrespect. Safe space.
Mm. Yeah.
You said you had three movies which you believe recaptured the magic, or is it only two?
That's right.
I forget it.
Quantumania was your second one.
I truly don't believe that's... I mean, you know, it's the classic thing when they say you can never go home again. You know, that kind of idea of like...
Well, it depends what they mean when they sort of like talk about capturing magic, right? Because with like Lord of the Rings, it seemed that it wasn't just about like capturing the magic of like these well-put-together films. Mm. They were. But it seemed that the cast, by and large, had a good time.
Yes, sure,
And my favorite is always where they talk about, like, oh, we got matching tattoos and do this kind of stuff. And then we, you know, fast forward several, years. And then, you know, when the first Suicide Squad comes out and everyone's like, yeah, we had a good time. Yeah, definitely. Mm. The squad got tattoos. Jared Leto did what on set? Such a great time. And it just seems so manufactured. Mm,
absolutely.
As opposed to like, you know, from like what they did with on the set of Lord of the Rings, where it just felt like, oh, no. We were here for ages and we just got to know each other and we became fast friends.
Yeah.
And they're like all these, you know, little integral stories.
Well, when you're part
kind
of like a creative project like that, where like, and you know, and people have talked about this before, but like the difference between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, where you see behind the scenes stuff in Lord of the Rings, where they're making the chainmail by hand. And even beyond that, they are like, custom making chainmail for extras so that they can develop some kind of backstory for them. Like, there's so much love and care put into it. And then The Hobbit
you do see that in The Hobbit, weirdly enough, with some of the main, like, the dwarves.
That's true, actually.
I remember watching a thing about that, and they were like, oh, yeah, so on my jacket, or in my jacket, there's this, like, you know, inner pocket there, and in that it's stamped this way, and there's, like, an embossed and sort of thing. You're never going to see this, but it's there for me to build this character.
Yeah.
But I think the difference being is that they sort of picked and chose. And then they also had like heaps of green screen of Ian McKellen having a big cry.
I swear to God, I'm not doing this on purpose. Uh-huh. I really liked The Hobbit.
All three?
All three?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Ian McKellen,
can you tell me a movie you don't like?
Well, apart from,
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun.
You know, like, didn't like The Naked Gun? What else? What else? What? Can I get your bottom three movies?
Or like what, movies you didn't like non-comedy movies.
Yeah.
Comedy's hard, I will argue. Like, it's that weird thing where comedy's extremely subjective. Yeah. So like,
any movie that's come out within the last 20, 30 years.
And it's like, you know, bounced off you.
Yeah, they bounce off you. That's okay. Yeah. You don't
Are Cardi with a Chance of Meatballs 2, which is the sequel. Hated that.
But you liked the first one.
Never saw it. I saw the second one because for work.
That's okay. That's fine, dude. That's okay. It's, I mean, like, I kind of have no opinion sort of at all on that.
Yeah, so. I don't have any opinion on that, but I'm like, wait, you didn't watch the first one?
Yeah.
You watched it for work? This work?
Yeah. I don't remember.
The first one was pretty good. The second one was kind of shitty. I think that's fair.
That's fair. Like, yeah, I don't remember. I'd never seen the second one.
Yeah, let me
see if I could sign into my old Letterboxd account.
Yeah, I would love to know what movies you dislike because... Yeah. I mean, like, again, I wish I could like movies like you.
Mm.
Like, it must be so nice.
Must be.
Dude,
imagine watching
Quantumania and being like, I'm in hog heaven now.
It's nowhere near as good as Ant-Man 2, of course, but I still had an 8 out of 10 vibe.
Imagine watching Deadpool and Wolverine and like, so like when you saw, again, no disrespect, legitimately,
when you see
Chris Evans and you've discovered Chris Evans is playing his character from the Fantastic Four movie, was that like exciting for you?
Or was that a bit of a shock because you were expecting
Captain
America?
Were you like, oh, damn. Like,
yeah. Fuck. I was like, oh my God, he's back as Captain America. And then he wasn't Captain America.
That's that was crazy.
What about, so the fight scene where they fight all of the different Deadpools? Was that like really like thrilling for you?
I don't remember that very well.
Okay, that was fine.
What? Okay.
Yes, I do. Okay. Yeah, I did enjoy that.
A Henry Cavill cameo as Wolverine?
No, that I don't remember.
Okay. What about short Wolverine? Yeah. When Deadpool's going to all the Wolverines? Made you laugh?
You make him laugh now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. I think what's crazy to me...
Oh, wait. The big reveal that, that Wolverine is the worst Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because
he got, drunk once. Yeah. Well, you're like... Damn, and now his redemption's going to mean a lot to me.
I didn't find that terribly, that moment, but then when he, like, when he has his kind of, like, redemption and, you know, they psych out Lady X, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Cassandra Nova.
They got, like, that kind of got to you. Do you think, what I think is crazy about this, this is what blows my mind. Again, no disrespect, you like what you like in this life. But...
Like, safe space.
So it's a safe space. The three of us have for years done a narrative-based TTRPG podcast called D&D is for Nerds.
Yes.
If you've never heard it, I recommend you listen to it. You can find it at sansmithradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts, which is a creatively collaborative show where we have these narrative ideas and Adam is he's got good ideas.
Yeah.
Adam's narratives they're intriguing, they're emotional, they're funny, they're exciting. And to know that the base for this, I guess, you know, that as an artist, this is the art he's consuming. You know, there's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
So I went through my letterbox to find my bottom rated movies, and a bunch of them are Steven Seagal movies, but I actually don't. I gave them half a star, but I actually love Steven Seagal movies. I think my review for every single one is like, worst movie I've ever seen. I want to watch it again.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I wish I had someone to talk to about these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So these would be actual movies that I genuinely hated.
Okay,
Last Blood.
Okay.
I hated that movie.
Okay.
That sucked.
Enough. I have no opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Under the Eiffel Tower, a movie I don't remember.
Okay, sure.
I could read out my review, but I do not remember.
Yeah, just go through those bottom ones. Yeah.
This movie began with such promise. From the first 10 to 15 minutes, you'd think you were in a great date night movie, but any goodwill is lost pretty quickly thanks to some baffling character choices.
Okay. I am curious, like maybe, let me make a bottom, like, you know, three. It's more like a blockbuster that bounced off.
Yes, yeah.
Like and a, then like Brightburn. A recent, yeah, like a recent blockbuster or like, and I say recent, really in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Like a blockbuster that you were like, yeah, nah, not for me.
A blockbuster?
Yeah. That's what I'm like, you know, like most people don't like Iron Man 3. I really liked Iron Man 3. I think that was the better one.
I'm looking through Adam's reviews right now.
Marvel
three stuff. And a half stars to Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
It's been a while since I've used Letterboxd.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm just going to, just interesting. Yeah. 3 stars to Oppenheimer, didn't do it for him. I mean, 3 stars are still pretty good. Fast X got 3 stars.
Okay. Fast X and Oppenheimer.
Oh, Fast X, I would say I probably would categorize. That's a movie I'm never going to see again. Oppenheimer is a different 3-star. And I like the star system, I guess.
Adam, I'm about to go full Joel Dusher on you, okay? Yeah. Just prepared.
So Fast X, that was the one with the most recent one, right? Yeah, that look. Hey,
that sucked.
That did.
It was
I
pretty
saw
bad.
It in 4DX in Sydney. Had the what a time I had.
Yeah,
terrible film. Wow. Experience though, 10 out of 10. Seats were moving all the time. I was having the time of my life.
Okay, that might be enjoyable.
But that movie sucked.
I watched that very close with Dead Reckoning and compare, because I mentally was able to compare very directly the final scene in Fast X where he's driving down the dam or whatever, CGI, with Tom Cruise actually driving off a cliff and then going into a hang glide or whatever.
Yeah.
That, being able to directly compare them, my brain was like, wow, you don't care, Vin Diesel.
Correct.
You at least, when you didn't care previously, no, you did care previously, but it was stupid and that was fun, but now you don't care.
Yeah, I think it cares in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam, so... Tell me this. Answer me this.
So
if you were to give...
Jackson Bailey, checking the tomes.
Yeah, I'm checking the tomes. If you were to give Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania a review out of 5, what would you give it?
I don't like the star system is the problem.
But he did say 8 out of 10.
So 8 out of 10, and that in your mad world
is
the equivalent of 2.5 stars?
Ooh.
Huh? Adam, this goes against everything you believe in. That's crazy. 2.5 stars. I guess over time has changed.
I guess so.
I guess so.
We I do remember going to see it with Adam because we all left the cinema and we were just like, me and you were just like staring off into space. My wife hated it, I think, more than all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And Adam being like, had a good time.
Yeah. I remember watching a Marvel movie with you great because you get to see what
enjoyment
must be like if you
be kind.
Enjoy those enjoy kinds this of movie. Movies.
Yeah. So in Deadpool Wolverine, when Wolverine put on his mask, Hooten Hollering?
When I was like, oh my god, he had that the whole time?
Yeah, I guess that was Hooten Hollering.
I remember being excited by that.
That's crazy, man. I mean, hey, more respect to you.
That's fine.
You know,
I'm always, sometimes I think I mentioned sometime in the past where it's like, hey, you know, sometimes when Twitter was like, you know, still accessible, but a different kind of accessible. But when people were talking about with Spider-Mans, they come out and they're like, oh, this outfit. And then they would go to town on it. And like, I couldn't imagine caring anymore.
No, me neither.
Truly.
About this.
Who gives a shit?
Spider-Man.
Who gives a shit?
Logo or the, which costume they were using.
You seen that, that image of, not for me. Who plays Ian McKellen in like a Magneto outfit for the new MCU movie? He just looks so sad.
Yeah.
I think when I see Ian McKellen in that movie, it's going to give me depression.
Yeah. It must be really sad to live your lives like this.
Well, there are good movies that I watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
This is not like the barometer. I mean, what's sad is that I have to watch it.
Okay.
If I didn't have to watch it, I wouldn't be sad because I just wouldn't think about it.
Well, yeah, like I think, you know, I would have just moved on.
Yeah. I really liked The Phoenician Scheme. That was like a satisfying movie to consume. It's the latest Wes Anderson movie. That was really good, dude. I liked watching Tron Legacy for this show.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was fulfilling. Yeah.
Okay.
The Fallout TV show.
Yes.
Okay, so it looks like they're doing New Vegas, effectively. For this one, they're going to Novak. Mm-hmm. They're going to New Vegas itself, possibly.
Season one ended, and this is my rememberings of it, is that Kyle MacLachlan, main lady's dad, actually villain, bad guy. Big secret of their vault is that they're also being run by frozen Vault Tech employees.
Okay.
From times of yore.
Okay.
And employee, singular.
Yeah. And Kyle MacLachlan basically killed their mom, maybe?
Sure.
Well, the mom tried to leave.
Yeah, did leave.
Went to Shady Sands. And then, like, did try to take the kids with, or at least the daughter.
Yeah.
And then Kyle MacLachlan maybe got shitty, but he nuked the shit out of that.
Okay.
And blew up that city.
Yeah.
Irresponsible that.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that came in to basically kidnap him at the start of the season was the mum's lover, I think. Or I could be misremembering.
Quite clear. I don't know if they ever.
Bless you, Adam.
No need to apologize.
It's nice to see a smile on your face.
Yeah, dude.
What was I going to say?
Yeah. It never was explicitly.
Yeah,
was
I don't
very,
think they were
very,
ever. Yeah, yeah.
I think
I was
it was
say.
Explicitly implied, though.
It was very
explicitly implied.
Well, I guess they just never like outright came out and said it, and I feel like, you know. Don't be a little baby about it. Fucking say it.
I thought they basically. I mean, look. It was.
Look, I think it's obvious. Yeah. I think it's obvious to anyone.
If you could watch that and be like, no, they were just roommates and friends. Like,
Well, I don't know. I just think you are
consuming media wrong.
I understand. You know that subtext exists as a thing. I swear to God, even though. Yeah. You maybe don't believe that right now.
Well, you can enjoy those movies and still have.
And again, I quite enjoyed Love and Thunder.
Exactly, dude. I think that movie was hot garbage.
Yeah.
Made by a man who clearly doesn't care about art.
Yeah, but I also agree with that statement.
Yeah, if you can love that movie, that's okay.
But there's a little moments where I'm like, that got me.
Yeah. Hey, we're all only human, obviously.
Yeah. The woman that raided the vault and got Kyle MacLachlan was, the mother's lover or good friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Previous or a member of the NCR, which wasn't a thing, maybe, but now is a thing.
Then they develop Cold Fusion.
Oh, okay.
Cold Fusion had been developed, I believe, basically pre-war, but Vault-Tec was sitting on it.
Yes. Okay.
And then they hit the button to get Cold Fusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Kyle MacLachlan in a mech suit fucks off.
Okay.
Titus Maximus.
Titus Maximus.
took credit for the Cold Fusion.
Well, he didn't on purpose take credit. The Brotherhood come in at the end. And they
because
see
he's still there. Yeah, he's very disillusioned with the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
He's very much like this.
Moments from leaving.
We're maybe not the good guys kind of thing.
But come in, they see him there with the Cold Fusion device. They're like, oh my God, you got it for us.
Yeah, you're big, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All is forgiven.
Kyle MacLachlan, I'm assuming, he's going to Vegas.
Kyle MacLachlan, heading off to get reinforcements, basically. Yeah. Well, we don't really know
He left. He's like, shit, I got to go.
Yeah, all of his allies are gone. Yeah. His daughter's turned against him. Yeah. He's being hunted by Walton Goggins' character, Cooper Howard, the ghoul.
Because he was the actor in the past times. Mm-hmm.
He's Vault Boy.
He's Mr. Vault.
There's
the stuff going on in the vault. Lucy's brother Chet.
Yes.
Is his name.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Maybe.
I remember. Yeah. Oh, he finds
Finds out that the vault that they grow up in is one of three vaults.
Yeah.
They're interconnected vaults and skip over a bunch of stuff or whatever. But basically what they find out is one of the other vaults has been basically completely holed out.
Yeah.
Everyone there's dead. And the other remaining vault isn't actually a vault, but is a cryo bay filled with Vault-Tec employees who are this other vault exists primarily to service that vault.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And so their entire lives they've existed solely just to look after these Vault-Tec employees.
See.
And provide breeding stock and such like that to restart the world.
Yeah,
Vault-Tec understood or kind of contrived the end of the world so that they could be in charge.
Yeah, all right.
Mm, that's right. There was a big reveal.
Which is partially why they nuked Shady Sands as well. Shady Sands, which was the heart, I believe, because this lore changes the original lore a little bit. I think Shady Sands was the heart or the capital of the NCR, and they nuked Shady Sands.
Yeah, okay.
To kind of kill the NCR. Because, they're now we open the vaults, we come out, we take charge. They open the vaults, the NCR's there. They're like,
Are you, because New Vegas, Adam, as far as, I might be incorrect on this, that's your favorite Fallout game. Yeah?
It is my favorite, yeah.
Is it exciting?
I promise you, it is independently being judged as good.
That is true.
It's not just me saying that it's good.
No, New Vegas is a good game. I'm with you on that. Is there anything particularly about New Vegas that you hope this season touches on?
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. BEEF. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
You can say it, dude.
I don't want a mixed law because Bethesda have been very clearly, they're like, we don't feel we're beholden to any law that has already been established.
Okay.
And they.
That seems to anger you.
I don't want. I just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. Do your own thing. If you're
I think
do
it is.
Thing.
Honestly, I do think it is weird and unnecessary for them to be like, this is the same continuity as the games. I think you solve a lot of problems by being like, they're different continuities. Yeah.
Like, I just think, look, hey, we pick and choose. It's it's a game based on choices and decisions. Mm. So of course, not everything can be canon. So we've basically by and large, we've pick and chosen what we want.
It's I
think it sorry.
No, please.
It seems like the claim of like, oh no, it's all the same continuity was an attempt to calm the fan base, but that seems stupid to go in the other direction. Yeah. Say
they've had to even with the games, they've kind of wrecked the continuity of the larger games many times now, and they've had to explain it in so many different ways. Mm. It's Bethesda. It's okay.
Yeah.
You want the Super Mutants, you want the Brotherhood of Steel, you want the iconic look of everything, just do it that way.
Yeah,
But as you know, you yourself are like, oh, I wish that I'd touch the continuity. I wish this. Does it really matter? I've always been on the side, but like, you're not the only one. There's a lot of people that hate them when anyone messes with anything. And I'm like, whatever. Like, don't let continuity get in the way of you telling a good story.
I think it kind of depends, really. Like, I agree, the continuity of the games and the TV show contradicting being a problem is, like, is weird. Those are two different mediums. But I think if your franchise, like, the games contradicting, I think I can understand that because the reason they contradict is so obvious, where it's like, well, it's to get super mutants into this place where they wouldn't normally be, and you're like, well, just come up with something fucking new. You don't have to, like, you know. In that sense, I'm like, that I suppose is annoying. I guess it's like, it's actually the problem maybe is a problem of language where we use the word continuity, but what we actually mean is consistency.
Okay,
because when there's a consistent world, you go, okay, I understand the rules and I understand what's come before, so what will happen next. Right. But if it's a continuity thing, you it's kind of like, I suppose, like the idea of canon. It's like this larger, broader thing hanging over your head that in some way will dictate how good, like, the quality of the thing, which is not accurate.
Like, the thing I always think about is it's often the Super Mutants and the Brotherhood of Steel, but the Super Mutants is very easy to explain. Where in the, like, very first game, the Super Mutants are this huge, they're the final boss. They're this huge, terrible enemy, and you defeat them at the end of the game. And the Super Mutants, like, are dealt with. They're done. But then in Fallout 3, because Bethesda were like, well, we just want Super Mutants. So there's like, oh, but there was always another group.
Okay.
And these group, and the funniest thing is they
keep doing it. The same thing happens in Fallout 4 and I think 75 where they go.
Yeah. 76.
76, sorry. They go, and there were also Super Mutants here. Okay. I think it's because it's not so much that it contradicts, at least from my perspective, it's not so much that it contradicts continuity. It's just stupid. Okay. It's like,
it sounds a bit lazy. Come up with something new.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's like, well, what's the point then of having, you know, I think it's
a very surface, Bethesda have a very surface level reading of Fallout as well, because they keep forcing it to be a post-apocalyptic world, but it wasn't. It isn't. Fallout, even Fallout 1, humanity is rebuilding. It's post-post. By the time of Fallout 2, there are countries again.
NCR
is a country.
Absolutely. But it is.
Which is why the nuke thing is so. I mean, like, you know, the new season, they're bringing it back. But in season one, it felt pretty heavily implied that the NCR, that you nuke one capital city and now the NCR is gone. NCR remnants and that's it.
Okay. But anyway, it's not that.
I'm guessing there's new guys coming in.
You can't just, so there's scenes. I think the trailer only shows Caesar's Legion, which is also itself a country. But there are, like, behind the scenes shots, I think, that have been released that show the NCR. And so at first people were saying, oh, it might just be flashbacks, but because Caesar's Legion is very definitely still in the present day as of season two, the NCR presumably is also still kicking around, which makes more sense because, you can't destroy a country by nuking one city.
Okay.
Which will be interesting. I hope it will be interesting because I'm sick and tired of Bethesda forcing us to play in the post-apocalypse. Show me the next step.
Yeah, it's been for sure.
Hundreds of years. It has been so fucking long.
I think it just becomes tedious to encounter the same characters and the same factions again and again and again and
like,
again.
Yeah, so what makes it... Because isn't it all post-post? Like, why? What do you mean by when they say, can we please get rid of the, like, post-apocalypse?
Well, so
it,
every time you encounter a city in a Fallout game, no matter how much time has passed, the city is struggling. You know what I mean? The wasteland is dangerous.
So there's no
Nature has never reclaimed the land. Yeah.
No roads, no oil, no whatever.
In Fallout 3, there's, like, a few scattered settlements, but it's treated very much as if, like, the bombs fell yesterday.
Yeah.
And in Fallout 4, they do the exact same thing. They do the exact same thing for a slightly different... So they can fucking shovel in those base building mechanics and stuff like that.
Okay.
There's one of my favorite mods for Fallout 4 is it all of the sites where you could go and build your own base, it builds a base there already and it populates it with people.
Oh, that's cool.
That's great. Because it feels like
humanity has lived, moved on.
It's been 200 years.
Anyway. Sure.
Okay, well, that makes like a level of sense. But is it also like maybe is it canon-y like lore stuff? Is it like Vault-Tec wants to kind of keep it squashed or whatever? Mm. Or are they like, no, we want to come out?
Not really in the games. I don't think that you could. I mean, you could make that reading of it, I guess. But
they keep it very ambiguous as to why the war happened and who attacked first. Gotcha. It's very like there are arguments that people have made, but they never have ever been explicit about who started it. Because that's not the point.
It was...
It's... the point of the original games is, hey, nuclear war is bad.
For sure.
There are no winners. It doesn't matter who attacked first.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, I think we've got a trailer. And so we get to see the Mr. Fallout himself.
A man
with a mustache.
Johnny House.
Mr. House.
Mm-hmm. Where his name is House?
Yeah.
Mr. House.
He's Johnny House. He's
the
Mr.
House always wins.
Is his name Johnny?
No. God, I hope so.
Me too.
Well... His name's Robert House.
Robbie House.
And so it looks like it's Walton Goggins, maybe the past, meeting this man.
Yeah. Presumably in the future as well, but it might not be in the flesh.
Yes, very true. If the New Vegas game is anything to go
because
by.
Because we've already seen guys as brains and robots, right? And I'm assuming that Mr. Robbie House may also be a guy in a brain or whatever.
He's sort of more like a husk in a computer.
It's actually kind of, it's a great reveal. People who have played the game kind of forget this because they've known about it for so long. If the reveal was so long ago in their own history. But so Mr. House, the first time you meet him, he's a face on a screen, a stationary, not moving face, and he talks to you. And yes, you have encountered these like brains in jars and stuff like that. And you've also, like the previous game, Fallout 3, had an AI. AI that pretended to be a person until you met it.
Okay.
And so you come into it like, oh yeah, it's going to be an AI. It's going to be a brain in a jar. And then, because it's been hundreds of years. And then when you finally meet Mr. House in the flesh, it is a shriveled old husk that has been kept alive by a computer.
And it's, you know, the whole time as well, he's like, I'm the big boss. Yeah. I'm so powerful. And then he's a little husk man. And it's awesome.
You get to kick him a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
I think it'll be very interesting as well because Mr. House, like, his characterization I'll be curious to see what they do with him because first off, there's no way, there's no way they're going to be commenting they're not going to pick one of the canonical endings to New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas, because you can't have Mr. House except in one very specific scenario at the end of the game. There's only one ending where Mr. House is alive.
Alrighty.
And I don't think they're bringing in an actor like that, having a scene with that actor in the trailer, if they're not making that actor a shriveled husk inside a machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
100% they're going to have that man don some prosthetic makeup so that he can come out of the machine. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But that means that they're not, I reckon they're not going to come down, or if they do have a definitive ending to the events of Fallout New Vegas, it's not going to be one of the ones that you can pick in the game.
What are the ones you can pick in the game? You can blow up New Vegas.
Not really, you actually.
Can, okay. Yeah. So what are the ones? You can eat a baby.
You can eat a baby, yes.
You can't eat a baby.
You eat a baby for powers.
Yeah, so no,
you
can eat a baby for powers. Fallout has not allowed you to kill children since Fallout 2 yeah. because it was very controversial in 2.
Is Fallout 2 the one you eat a baby?
No, I you can believe never eat a baby. That this idea that you can eat a baby comes from a mod that's Mandala affected everybody. So I had this belief that for the Pit, which is actually for Fallout 3, the Pit DLC, that there's a, you get the choice to either save a baby or Read save a baby in another way.
There's two factions fighting for a baby because the baby maybe has a cure to this
You get
disease.
To pick which faction it is, but if you have the cannibalism perk, you can eat the baby for permanent Rad's resistance.
That's a mod.
But that's a mod. But it's. I guess it was such a popular mod. I don't know. Because I brought this up somewhere else on the fucking network. Yeah,
this is my memory of it.
And everybody was like, I remember that. I remember that. Wait a second.
Fallout game.
I think that's a shame.
With
you
maybe
should be
some
able to eat a baby,
of the,
dude.
If it's, of the side games.
If it's meant to be an accurate depiction of the post-apocalypse, you should be able to eat children.
Okay. That's good eating.
That's good eating, dude.
Jackson so, Bailey, 2025.
The options for endings for Fallout New Vegas are, you can side with, so the culmination of Fallout New Vegas is it's fighting over the Hoover Dam.
Yep.
Which, this cool fact about the Hoover Dam is that when it fails, it will fail not because of anything wrong with the dam, but because water has eroded the canyon either side of it.
That is cool.
That will go first.
That is cool.
I think
cool.
That's neat.
That is neat.
So the Hoover Dam survived the bombs dropping because, and this will, I don't know, this will be a larger conversation about Mr. House, but Mr. House defended New Vegas, Vegas, then New Vegas, specifically from the bombs because he lived there, and also he wanted to,
he was doing the Vault-Tec thing, kind of,
well,
right?
In the show, he's working with Vault-Tec, but in the games, I don't see how you can pour Mr. House in the games as working with Vault-Tec. Mr. House has, in his mind, in the games, there is no equal. Mm. There's no, like, sharing the post-apocalypse. Mr. House is like, I am the only person who can lead humanity.
Well, maybe in the TV show, he'll be like,
maybe.
Like,
yeah.
I'm working with them to eventually betray them.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
But that also, I mean, once again, he could have seen Vault-Tec as inevitably doing this or something like that. But the reason he was able to protect Vegas is because he just knew that the bombs were going to fall eventually. Yeah. He didn't, like, push for it to happen because he didn't want it to happen.
Well, they say in the trailer, the Walton Goggins is like, you want to see where it started? And he doesn't sound like that, but you know, this is where it began in Las Vegas. So
in the show, maybe, but that is a different character, right? I think it's a different characterization of Mr.
Well,
House.
It's interesting. Do you think that by the end of this season, we'll be done with New Vegas, the game? Like, because it's interesting.
The game.
Well, like in that this season is like we're going to New Vegas, which is the location of Fallout New Vegas. Mm. Do we think by the end of this season, they'll be like, well, that's New Vegas, and the next season, we're going to go to the fucking Capital Wasteland.
Well, I was going to say maybe Boston for Fallout 4, for the Pridwin, for that stuff.
That's true, because the Pridwin is, or at least some kind
it feels like the Brotherhood of Steel, because they have this cold fusion technology now, might be building up to being like an ultimate antagonist.
Yeah. How many seasons of this do you think there'll be?
As many as profitable. That is my guess.
How long is the contract that the main actors have signed for? Because the moment that contract is up and there's the potential for a season, they could demand more money, which means maybe it won't be as profitable.
Well,
suddenly
it's,
character dies.
Well, unfortunately, though, it's streaming, so it was only we only got like 20 billion minutes, and the target is actually 406 billion minutes.
Sorry, pal,
you don't get your bonus.
But it's just, it's kind of an interesting narrative to build toward a final antagonist or a final, like this story does have an ending is what it feels like.
Yeah, it does.
So it just, I wonder if there's like a planned amount of seasons or.
It seems that like Walton Goggins' character, like he's trying to find his wife and kid.
Yeah.
I forget What happened?
He loves it. Oh,
couldn't tell you, brother.
So he.
There was something. At first, there was something.
At first, he's kind of aimless.
Yeah.
Then he makes the connection that. What's his name?
Mm-hmm. Kyle MacLachlan?
Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan's character. Well,
that's right. He met him in the past.
Yeah. Mm. So he knows that Kyle MacLachlan's character, I wish I could remember his name, can tell him or probably has information about the whereabouts about his daughter and his wife.
Because they were Vault-Tec employee, or the wife was a Vault-Tec.
Yeah, she was like an upper echelon.
Yeah. So she might also be
What do they call it? Third suite? What's it called? C-suite. She's a C-suite, yeah.
So, like she might still be alive.
She might be alive somewhere, and she's in, like, the vault that, what's her face? The main character.
Well, there's more to be flashed back. If you'll remember, there's a lot of content in the flashback that we... Mm-hmm. So there's kind of like a B-plot happening in flashbacks told through Walter Goggins' character, the ghoul, where we're kind of learning, as he's learning, that Vault-Tec know about the end of... or are planning the end of the world. And so it's kind of what I think a type of story that I think is very cool, where characters A and B start at the beginning and episode one start there and are moving forwards. But one of the characters also starts back here and we see him moving forward to episode
till he gets
one,
to
I think is neat.
That is cool.
Yeah. And there's like, a lot of there where it's like uncovering stuff. They're like, he's connecting. I'm remembering vaguely. I'm like, something to do with his... He found information. It was a big twist. And the big twist was that, he met MacLachlan. And MacLachlan, I think, was a shit kicker. Mm. Like, he wasn't even that really important in Vault-Tec employee.
Yeah, he was kind of not that high up.
Yeah. But he might know what's going on.
Mm. I think the idea is that, he's like a low-level executive, but then becomes a bit higher. Anyway, so the Mr. House that they show in, or that I'm getting the impression of, does not feel like it comports very well with the one in the game.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they didn't feel like they needed to put Mr. House in the show, I guess.
Well, it is a kind of interesting thing. I was just thinking about that. Like, you feel like... I remember when the first trailer came out, I was like, what's cool about the Fallout games is that they pick a city or they pick a region of America and they go, well, let's drop a bomb on it and then imagine what could happen, right? And that's always cool where they go, well, this is, what mutated creatures are going to live here? What factions that existed previously are going to survive through the apocalypse and look slightly different in the present day or whatever?
Mm.
And so it was kind of cool that the first one was taking place in a place I think we'd never seen affected, or we'd never seen in a game before, if I'm correct. I have not seen it. So.
It takes place around where the first game takes place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. But then I suppose it would be a cool opportunity to be like, well, let's go to places we're probably never going to visit in the games.
Yeah.
And just as settings, they might be interesting.
Well, they might open it up to that, and that'd be kind of like...
Well, I guess season 3, I think, will really show us what the plan is.
Yeah.
In that... But that's true. Fuck you. Go to hell.
Because it depends what, if they, it's such a weird thing when it comes to TV series. Mm. If they don't plan for a season and they're like, are we going to get one or not? I'm so curious how, some of those TV series are, filmed. If they're like, and this would be classic examples. Mm. Of we filmed a cliffhanger and then we didn't get to the next season. I'm sorry. How much do you plan ahead to be like, well, we got the season, which we could wrap up, and then we also filmed a bit of a cliffhanger, and then midway through the season, are we getting greenlit? Are we getting not?
I think the brave thing to do is to plan to always have another season.
Yeah.
I think be brave and be like,
honestly,
if we don't get another season, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude, because otherwise you get, there's a TV show, I can't remember the name of it or what show it is, but I know this happened, where they were always at risk of getting canceled basically at the end of every season.
Sounds like a lot of shows.
Yeah.
But it meant that every season...
Community has that. Every season's meant to be basically the end of the show.
Yeah, Futurama.
Yeah. No, I thought it was like more of like a more serious show, but it was anyway, it kind of feels weird to watch because the final episode of every season is like
the final episode,
and then they just start again.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird.
Well, again, like I had that with Futurama, where the really like the devil's idle hands, the devil's plaything. You're like, what a beautiful ending to that show.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. We're coming back for the season. Okay, we're back again.
And that's the end. Okay,
we're back again.
Yeah.
To answer your question from before,
yes.
So there are four five endings, depending on how you look at it. So one of them is they're all fighting over the Hoover Dam, which still works.
Mm-hmm.
A common theme in Fallout games is fighting over a power source.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, the Hoover Dam, which still works. The NCR, based out of, is a like a kind of a, like America of old, basically, you can help them win the Hoover Dam. There's Caesar's Legion, which is styled after, you know, the Roman Republic, a very authoritarian dictatorship.
Yeah.
You could help them win. You can do what's called an independent Vegas run, where you get to pick and choose which factions survive and die, and you take control, basically.
Okay.
And there's two versions, one where you take control basically with an iron fist, a robot army, or you cannot take the robot army, and then it's kind of chaos, they explain.
Robot army, you say?
Okay.
And then finally, there's Mr. House, which is basically the same as the Iron Fist with robots, but Mr. House, instead of you, is in charge.
I don't think I ever finished Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
I guess I got bogged down doing other stuff and never got to the end. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll do something similar with this, where they you know, there's going to... we don't really see many robots and, like, AI.
We get to see...
There's a Mr... whatever they're called.
Not a Mr. Handy. It's
Mr. Helpful?
No, it's a Securitron, they're called.
Yeah.
So we see them. A specific one, it looks like, called Victor from the games.
Okay.
He's got a specific face.
Yeah, we saw a few of them in the first season, but we never saw, like, that, like, the AI, is it Valentine or whatever, the guy who's, like, a robot who's going to be a cop or some shit?
Synths.
Yeah. There we go.
We didn't see any synths. Yeah. We might see that in season 3 when we see the wider world.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what season 3, because either... Shut the fuck up. This fucking guy, dude.
God, I hope season 2 is the last season. That would be so funny.
Well, I just think season 3 is where you see whether or not they're going to do something new or whether every season's going to be a different game.
Yeah. Can I ask, do you mean season 3 of this show or just do you think season 3 is in general?
Of this show.
Oh, where you see the wider world.
Yeah. Season 3 of this. Well, because season 2, they've gone to New Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if season 3 of this show takes place in a brand new area, they're picking and choosing. But if season 3 of this game takes place, this show takes place in Boston, you go, oh, okay, every season's going to correspond to a game.
Okay.
Yeah. Lame, you know?
Sure. I kind of agree with that. Like, you know, it's just like you've got this whole franchise. Have fun with it.
What are you doing? Otherwise,
I reckon season 3s are where they branch off. You know, when adaptations have their season 3,
I reckon
that's typically where they start making their own
stuff. Having some
movies. We'll go to Canada maybe in season 3, you know?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
It's Australia do it in season 3. That's what I
hope that it's the season 3 takes place entirely within Nuka World from the Nuka World DLC to Fallout 4.
Imagine if they did that, though.
Then I'd watch. I'd start watching, dude. Just for that. I'd start watching.
You'd start. At least
I wouldn't watch season 1 and 2, though. I'd be only in it for Nuka World.
That was so frustrating to me about you. Talk about...
Nuka World's cool, man.
Talk about being obsessed with bad media, to go back to earlier. Fallout 4, there is one DLC that's good, and he has not played it, and he would fucking love it. And you keep playing fucking Nuka World, one of the worst DLCs they made.
Yeah, which it's is like the awesome one that he'd love.
Yeah, it's the awesome one I would love is set on some island or some shit. But Nuka World did
some shit, whatever. Nuka World.
What if Coke had a theme park and
you
could go there and kind of get bored really quickly?
Yeah, you see, even in his own attempt to
but
persuade
the potential,
you.
Dude. The potential.
In his own attempt to persuade you,
he
got bored.
Nuka World's the best,
but
dude.
The potential.
It's the only DLC.
An island or whatever, but...
Who cares, but Coke would, the theme park?
You would love
Fahar. I would, dude. Yeah. Alas, unfortunately.
Alas, he's too busy in the theme park. Where is the theme park in the world?
You got to take like a shuttle to it. Like,
somewhere near Boston.
It's near Boston.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a specific...
Vegas is in, like, it's in Nevada.
In comparison to Boston.
Pretty far away.
We probably won't. Wait a minute. There's multiple Disneylands or worlds.
Absolutely,
all over the
dude.
Shop. So maybe there'll be a Nuka World in Vegas.
Yes. What's the closest Disney? Maybe they go to California. Ooh. Nuka World California Adventure.
Mm.
Yeah,
God,
dude.
That'd be nice.
God. Wiki.
Maybe we see a bunch of
fandom.
I hope so, dude. And the Nuka World robots and that. The Walt Disney analog, who's just a head.
Mm.
That's awesome, dude.
That sounds
alligator men, kind of. Yeah, dude. Nuka World rocks.
Like the bridge. It's in Florida or whatever.
It's in Massachusetts, just west of Boston, is all they say.
Nuggetwald is sort of, it's got, it holds the same place in my heart and head as Dark Knight's Metals, where I go, man, I should read Dark Knight's Metal, all right? I should play the Nuggetwald DLC, and then I'm doing it, and I'm like, this is terrible. Why am I here? But I'll be doing that for the 20th time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe this time it'll be good.
I reckon one day it'll have to be. Do we have any swings for the fences for the Fallout TV show?
I reckon they're going to have basically this is my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
The conflict between the NCR, the Legion, Mr. House over the Hoover Dam, I reckon that's going to have been set in stasis since before the game. So I reckon they're still going to be fighting over the dam.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Do we think we'll get, and this is important based on the last time we talked about Fallout and had you on the show. Now, you made the claim if the Courier appears in this season.
If we see the Courier. Like,
yeah, what do you mean? I'm pretty sure there was some references.
Yeah, yeah.
If we end up splitting it.
Yeah.
I think I was trying to make the argument that we did see the Courier in the
We
in
didn't,
the first
definitely
one.
Didn't see the Courier.
Or there was definitely something happening with the
It was a woman in one of the vaults who said that one of her parents was a courier.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, that counts.
Yeah.
And you were like, it doesn't count. And I'm
that
like,
that could not possibly count.
If in the second season we physically see a character that everyone calls the courier, will you what will count?
If there is, I'll go because fine, to stop the splitting of the hairs, it doesn't have to I will concede that it doesn't have to be a quote unquote the courier, the main character of Fallout New Vegas. But if they have a character whose name is the Courier, I will go egg mode.
Okay. That's huge, dude.
So their name, and when you say their name,
it doesn't have to just be the Courier. Like
as in like
Howard Cooper. Yeah. Walton Goggins' character is called Howard Cooper, aka the ghoul.
So if there's somebody named like Don
Betty Johns
Fink,
aka the Courier,
Betty Johns or John Fink, aka the
Courier,
I will go egg mode.
Okay, that's very exciting, dude.
If their IMDb fucking listing thing says the Courier,
okay,
you're Johnny Eggs.
I'm Johnny Eggs.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Okay, and that's,
I'll do it.
No facial hair. No
that
head
is,
hair,
yeah.
No eyebrow hair.
As if my head had alopecia.
Oh, okay. I cannot wait. Okay. You're going to look crazy.
Okay.
My swing for the fence is that they'll go to Nuggetwald. And that this season it's a fake out. It's been a fake trailer. And they're actually going to go to Nuggetwald for the whole
I do like it.
The whole season
fun,
of TV.
Nice. Yeah. Swing for a fence is it had been revealed in times of past that the ghoul ate that baby to get anti-rads or whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I ate a baby. I ate a baby once.
I just had a memory.
You genuinely might like some of the scenes with the ghoul.
Oh, I think I love the show, dude. It seems cool.
There's specifically that scene where the ghoul's like, now you're like me.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that was a good scene. Yeah,
I reckon you'd love
that. Yeah, I think I'd love the show. I hear it's really good.
Yeah, I think that's what you'd probably like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, time for us to jump to the BS Boys pod at gmail.com inbox.
Yes.
Hey, if you like the show and you like what we do, you think it's funny and you're laughing and having a good time on the bus, you consider supporting us by signing up to Baseless Speculation Plus.
Oh, exactly.
Links in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Or if you're on Apple, literally just a button.
Yeah, sanspantsradio.com. Mm-hmm. Or you could, if you're in Apple Podcasts, there's a button you can just hit. I think you can just try it out for free.
Yeah, exactly. Give it a crack. See if it's for you. You get
It's like a small little, less than a cup of coffee.
Less than a cup of coffee. And that's fucking nothing.
Come on. Less than an iced latte.
Exactly, dude.
Because iced lattes
are real. Come on, dude. What are you?
Why are they more expensive than a regular
latte? Why are they more expensive
than
a regular coffee?
It's harder to make it cold.
Bullshit.
That's
absurd,
dude. Bullshit.
I will
fight you.
They
gotta make it cold.
He's believing their bullshit. That's how you get
to be
a lover,
dude.
Oh yeah, ice is hard. I love Quantum Mania. Safe space. A safe space.
I thought you called me a sex pest.
If you sign up, you get access to an infrequent, but not that infrequent, episode of Baseless Speculation Plus, as well as ad-free content. Support us, please. Anyway, first email comes from Jack. Hi, boys. While I can't speak for all, I want to share why I originally didn't like Avatar. I wasn't ready for it. And I will say, you get a lot of Avatar emails, and God bless you all, but I ain't reading all that.
A lot of them are very long.
A lot of them are very long. Again,
it's a very nice to get, like, you know, both you know, support for and, you know,
and to hear your opinion against. On. That's great.
Interesting.
Jack says, I was a teen who liked sarcasm, irony, and snark, and I hated everything sincere when Avatar 1 came out. Okay. So a lot of the points I saw on Facebook groups were exactly what I was spewing. It's stupid, it's derivative, it's derivative, unobtainium, lol.
Yeah.
All the while, thinking BVS was really cool, actually, and Marvel could do no wrong. It wasn't until you boys were talking about Avatar 2 that I decided to revisit the first one. And after years of maturing and watching slop Marvel slash Bad Boys irony-led films, the sincerity of Avatar and its sequel had me cheering. I adored, I understood. So I think a lot of people aren't ready yet. Similar to how with Gunn's Superman came out in the late 2000s or the early 2010s, it would have been laughed at, which is, I think that's very true.
Yeah.
Anyway, just wanted to put in my two cents. Thanks for making me an Avatar fan, and thanks for reading if you did. They then go on to say, and maybe this is why I picked this email, I don't know. P.S. I'm the guy who suggested Now You See Me once, Now You See Me twice, and Now You See Me three times. And the Joels are cowards for not accepting the gauntlet. Jackson is the only brave podcaster. What a sad state of affairs. This is the gauntlet, Adam, if you're unaware. We watch Now You See Me one once. We watch Now You See Me two twice. And Now You See Me three times.
Now You See Me, if we're talking about movies I hated?
Yeah.
The Now You See Me?
Yeah.
I'm with him on this.
Makes me want to barf.
I hated it so much.
See, man, I would, if you told me, if you put a DVD of Now You See Me 1 in the DVD player, and you put a gun to my head,
or you put my penis as well, like, you know, ready to go in the DVD player, and slam it into that DVD player, I would choose the penis injury.
Yeah. Well, if you put the gun to my head and you said, you either sit through this movie or I shoot you, I would turn to you, Joel, and I would say, shoot me twice.
Interesting.
I still
think we should do the gauntlet one day.
Hey, maybe. Maybe for a little bonus BS plus.
Exactly,
at some
dude.
Point.
Or for the most unnecessary based rewind we've ever done.
Can
in
I
life.
Also maybe. Ask, talking about Superman being released in a different time and being disliked?
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a time where Quantumania could have been released and you might have liked it?
I think I would have liked Quantumania. Probably not. And I say that because when I was liking, no disrespect, slop, when I was like an early teenager, I remember going
and
to
see. I
think
you're allowed to just say no disrespect and then disrespect.
Yeah.
I'm disrespecting the movie, not you.
More or less. You love slop. That's on you.
You. Like
I'm not
slop,
judging
dude.
You.
Pigs like
that's,
slop, that's... and I like pigs. So.
Exactly.
When I was a teenager, I went to see. Oh no, I've done this to myself.
I think I'm gonna cry.
The third prequel movie.
The
third prequel.
Pigs like slop. I like pigs. Fuck! What a great line. Wow. The third prequel one.
What's
it
called?
Revenge of the
Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
Well, I went to see Revenge of the Sith, and I remember it. It didn't bounce off me. It's like it went through me. And I was with a friend who really cared about it. I was like, man, that was cool. And I was like, I might as well have just not seen a movie.
So
in that period of time, I didn't know how to consume media.
Yeah.
And then I think by the time I did, it would have been slop to me. I would have hated it no matter when.
Because I'm trying to remember, you know, there's many, why did I really dislike that film? And there's many reasons. The volume, I think, is a big part
of it.
Like it just, like, you know, how it looked.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when would I like that? Again, maybe as a teenager, but like, I'm trying to
probably
think of,
when,
like,
I was 10. Honestly, I think when I was 10, I would have just been like, whoa, there's a lot of colors. And that would have been enough for me. And I would have laughed at MODOK's little bum.
Yeah. I reckon around about that, like, early teens to, like, you know, the tweens or whatever it's called, like 11, 12. There's like, oh yeah, laughing at MODOK's bum, that'd be pretty good. That little alien that's maybe does
when the minions do it, it's hilarious.
Yeah, well,
but when MODOK does it,
Quantumania don't got shit on the minions.
The minions are fucking hilarious.
Is there a dude that's like, aah! Or am I thinking of the minions?
You might be thinking of Chewbacca.
There's a guy who's goo, and they talk about how many holes he has.
Maybe I'm not thinking of that. And I guess the end where, like, you know, Ant-Man's like, oh, but, you know, he did say this was happening and oh, no, and oh, God. And he has that little existential crisis. But that's like, well, you know, the classic Marvel bullshit of like, you know, oh, we're going to promise you a better movie later. And then,
I think I'm just, I it needs to have been a time where I don't know about how movies are made and know nothing about what's happening behind the scenes. Yeah. So I can put myself in the mindset that this is a movie someone cares about. Instead of seeing like.
Okay. If I had maybe just had some eye, like LASIK surgery.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice, dude.
And so I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And I could only listen to it.
Okay.
And I reckon maybe then.
What about
Adam? I'm trying to remember, God, it was muddy as shit. Yeah, you couldn't see anything at all.
What if, okay, if I've been hit by a truck, okay?
Okay. Hit by a truck.
Yeah.
But that was 10 years ago.
Oh.
And like, as I'm waking up from the coma.
Yeah.
This is halfway through.
Okay.
I've been like, wow.
Whoa, this is what movies look like? Whoa. Well, I was going to say, I've just been hit by a truck and I'm in a full body cast, but it's a mean hospital. And the nurses are being nasty and they've not let me watch anything, but I'm in here for like 6 months.
Yeah,
and like 3.5 months have gone by. And finally, a doctor's listened to me when I say the nurses are bullying me.
Yeah.
The doctor says, okay, we'll put on a movie for you. And I'm like, I've not been allowed to watch any entertainment.
Yeah.
And they won't even let my family come and see me. I just need a modicum of joy.
Exactly.
And the doctor puts on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Yep.
Even then.
I was just like, well, to a thirsty man, like, you know.
A thirsty man will drink piss, as they say.
Yeah.
This
piss is the elixir of the gods.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This next email, it's somebody else just saying why they don't like Avatar, but it's got a belligerence about it that I thought was funny.
Okay.
I just turned 50, in case that matters. I watched the first Avatar and thought, all form, no
happy
function.
Birthday.
It's pretty, but there's not much to it other than that.
Uh-huh.
He's been working on this movie for 20 years and couldn't come up with anything better than unobtainium. When you give up searching for unobtainium, do you have to start looking for MacGuffin? Amy Thingamajig? Yeah. New Hope has a simple story. Avatar is a simple story, but too simple. I legitimately thought it's a bad script. And I'm not bowing at the throne of James Cameron. I also refuse to watch Titanic. That's an awesome hill to die on. I can't comprehend it, but more power to you.
Good for you. Mm-hmm.
I will not watch Avatar again, and I will not watch the second one or the third one. I will watch Morbius again for the third, fourth, and fifth time because it's hilariously terrible. Rather watch a fun bad movie than a meh good movie. I'll watch any Mel Brooks movie prior to 1990 multiple times.
I was tricked into watching Morbius.
Really?
I watched it in the space of two seconds on a TikTok. Like, and then someone came on and was like, you just watched all of Morbius, you idiot.
I was like, you got tricked into watching Morbius, how like many actors got tricked into being in Morbius.
Yeah. It's my favorite Letterboxd review.
Yeah. Morbius is a film that's not even funny bad.
Yeah.
I like me some funny bad films. It's just a bad.
Stinky, dude.
That being said, if you put Morbius back in cinemas, this time
we'll watch it. It's a good film.
I just love refusing to watch Titanic.
That's also good.
It's just like, I don't know why you would do that. Like, I respect the hell out of it because I can't comprehend it.
I do wonder. I was thinking this the other day in terms of, like, a lot of people's, like, you know, gripes with
Avatar.
The Avatar franchise or the Avatar, whatever. Yeah. And they thought, oh, it's a very simple thing. Oh, it's disrespectful to, like, you know, like, indigenous culture. Oh, it's, you know, it's a white man savior complex. Oh, it's all this. I'm wondering if it's the same people that when they watch Dune or read Dune, the same things that they say.
Mm.
Whereas like, oh, see, it's just another white man savior complex. Oh, yeah, see, it's just, you know, like, oh, this whole bullshit. Whereas like, well, Dune is the opposite.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, again, I've said it before. Yeah. I kind of like that Avatar is the second movie interrogates the first movie.
So with Dune, that's kind of the whole point. It's like, this person to be set up and blah, blah. And the whole thing about, like, you know, don't fall for that charismatic leader. And that's like the whole point of Dune. But like the surface level of Dune is to be like, see, once again, unoriginal.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering because, you know, the first Avatar comes out and like, you know, that is what it is. And the second one comes out and it's like, oh, it's actually kind of, okay, now we're investigating that. If that was, and then like, and it's gonna hopefully gonna keep going, and then it'll kind of, you know, put everything like the previous movies into a different
perspective.
And I really like that because it does seem like that is the direction it's going.
Mm.
And to kind of the surface level disregard for it all. It just feels like, you know, and I mean this with as much sincerity as I can.
Yeah.
Don't base your personality on an episode of South Park.
junk.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
You watched when you were a teenager.
Absolutely, give it a rewatch.
I just
like our friend from before who I rewatched it as an adult and was like, oh, actually, you know what? There's something to love here.
Yeah. So don't. Yeah, I understand. South Park was very good and funny,
dude.
And maybe even to this day, people still watch it and it's very relevant to you and you love it.
Yeah.
But maybe don't let it
color your opinions.
Color your opinion on
you know entirely.
It's funny to say that now, South Park is like very pointedly attacking the current administration.
That is true.
It's a funny opinion to have now when South Park begrudgingly you're like fighting on the same side right now.
I used to watch South Park a lot when I was a lot younger. And again, it's like the criticism that I'm hearing with like Avatar is that the whole like, oh yeah, it's just Dances with Wolves with Smurfs. And you're like, that's a very weak take. It's a very surface level take.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay, very funny. Haha. I have too seen that episode.
Yeah.
Good job.
What else you got, dude? Mm. What else you got? One last email. This is from Adam, but not this Adam.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Dear BS boys, I've been listening since I was 14, just before COVID, meaning you boys have almost certainly wrecked my poor, malleable teenage brain.
You are welcome.
Doctors say it's as bad as being a pack-a-day smoker.
In this time, I feel as if Zamet has hardly aged and was absolutely glowing in the recent episode of Plumbing the Death Star I watched. This has led me to conclude he is absorbing the youth of Johnny Baby in a Mother Gothel type situation. I also believe he stole the youth of the little British boy that lived within Jackson when Sans Pants first started, which would explain the change in accent. Yours forever ruined, Adam.
You're welcome, Adam. First time ever, heard it. I was rewatching.
Yeah.
We did ages and ages back. You and I did a Q&A together.
Mm.
And I was listening back to the Q&A and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I could hear it.
Mm. Yeah.
You absolutely. It's the first time I've ever
I can
ever
hear it if
noticed.
I go back and listen to episodes like from 2 years ago. Mm. My voice
love
is
that,
different.
Yeah. Love that little British boy.
Oh, bring him back, dude. Yeah. Where?
What's he doing?
What's he doing?
What's
I can't even
on?
Do the voice anymore.
Well, you're going too far.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it all the time. Well, in the video I watched.
Well, I think that's because that's a transitionary period where it's like starting to become the kind of whatever the fuck it
where
is
I'm
now.
Here, like, yeah, sucking off your youth or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly, dude. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for emailing us at bsboyspod@gmail.com. If you've got any opinions, if you want to come in here and defend Adam Cannavale from the
don't do that.
Opinions,
one.
Or if you want to double down.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in the next episode, probably. So he's not going to hear it. It'll just
be
us.
Yeah, and then we'll have to explain to Dusha
the
opinions, and then you get to see his reaction.
Exactly. It's
going to
be so much meaner than the two of you were.
It's safe.
Joel's going to be you with it. Shut up. No, you didn't.
And if you want to email in on other, like, wonderful little words of compliments for me, especially.
Yeah.
That was
if
nice to
see how handsome Joel's Abbott is. The inbox is always open
always
for you to do that.
For those beautiful compliments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Adam, for coming in this episode of Baseless Speculation. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
did you get the huge yawn I did just?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Course,
yeah, are we boring you?
Yeah.
Fair
enough.
It's been a long day.
You are keeping me, yeah.
Obviously, people can find more of you and me and Zamet if you search D&D is for Nerds, our Dungeons & Dragons podcast on whatever app you listen to podcasts.
Or Ampersand.
Exactly. As well as the Grey Hill Free Company, which is more D&D. Beyond the Map, which is sort of a horror-themed TTRPG that you DM and sometimes I DM. Any of that interests you, search it wherever you find your podcasts, baby.
Mm.
And until next time, well, we...
We've been the BS boys.
Gee whiz. I guess we fucking have.
Guess we gosh darn have been.
Gee whiz.
And I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson. You can swear as much as you like in the last
That was
minute,
Adam.
Right?
Yes.
That was Adam, yeah.
Sorry.
That's right. You kept talking.
Yeah.
You were so very patient to not get a word. Like, yeah, he wasn't let you get a word in edgewise.
That's
know?
All right.
Yeah.
I got a lot to say.
Yeah.
You guys talk more on this one.
Yeah.
Than in
one.
General.
Cut.